return to the subject of our Labour now becoming a Remain party, and the callers I'm getting tonight, Labour Brexit voters, are pretty angry with the party. One even said he was going to burn his membership card. But before we do that, I'm here in Washington, D.C. There's a lot happening in the USA today, and not all of it good. Joining me is LBC's US correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon, welcome to the show. Now, out in Washington State, there's been a train disaster.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we should explain, this is on the west coast of the United States, in Washington State, not here in Washington, D.C., on the east coast of the country where we are. But train 501, which is an Amtrak train, was this morning making its inaugural journey along a new route out of Seattle down towards Olympia in Washington. It has traditionally gone along a scenic waterway, but as of this morning, it started routing itself along a highway, motorway Interstate 5 in Washington State, and a tragic derailment occurred. The death toll now stands at 6 people dead. We don't have a firm number on the number of casualties, people injured that have been taken to hospital, but the authorities say they expect the death toll to rise. And if you've seen any of the imagery from the scene, aerial images particularly show that as many as 5 railway carriages derailed, one of them dangling completely over a bridge above the motorway. And remarkably, no motorists on that very busy motorway appear to have died in this accident, which is now being investigated by America's National Transportation Safety Board. There is one report, a very early and unconfirmed report, that says the train may have hit something as it approached that bridge over the motorway. But again, I think investigators are going to want to focus on the fact that this was a new route that the train was on. This new route for the first time. And one wonders whether everything had been checked out that should have been checked out before the train set off.
And just explain to listeners, Amtrak run the railway service in the United States of America, and we always think of America as being the great capitalist free market. Not quite the case here.
No, it's very interesting. I was saying on Ian Dale's show a bit earlier on, I mean, for those of us who remember the days of British Rail the UK, Amtrak is the British Rail of the UK. It is government funded and it runs the National Railway service. And what makes Amtrak's job complicated is the fact that while it owns the stations and it owns the trains, it doesn't always own the tracks. It has to borrow tracks in some parts of the country from the big freight companies here, which do own and operate the tracks. Don't know whether that was the case on this particular section of track in Seattle or not. But, you know, the fact is that Amtrak is a state-operated, state-funded, state-managed enterprise. Its safety record has been somewhat spotty in recent years. And, of course, in vast swathes of the middle of the country, there's no real railway service to speak of in any great degree. But here on the east coast of the United States, as you know, Nigel, going from here to New York on a regular basis, and over on the west coast, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and routes further north than that, it's an absolutely vital part of America's commuter and transportation landscape.
And sticking with the transport theme, Atlanta Airport, I think it's the biggest hub airport in the whole of the USA. It's massive, it's vast, international flights, domestic flights, and an extraordinary power outage.
Absolutely amazing. A fire at an electricity substation yesterday is being blamed for cutting power to virtually the entire airport in Atlanta. And as anybody who flies in and out of the United States knows, you know, it only takes one electricity cut or a bad snowstorm at one airport like Atlanta or Chicago to bring the rest of the system to a standstill. At Atlanta yesterday, passengers in some cases were sitting on the tarmac for up to 6 hours waiting simply to get off aeroplanes that had landed at the airport while the power to the airport was cut. President Trump, within the last few minutes and earlier in the day on Twitter, cited what had occurred at Atlanta Airport as being part and parcel of the need for America to get its infrastructure act together, and he's proposing massive increases in infrastructural spending. And he's also been on his feet just within the last few minutes saying exactly the same about this railway accident out in Seattle. Even though we don't yet know what the cause of that railway accident was, he is citing it as an example of America's crumbling infrastructure and the need to do something about it.
I have a feeling the president may have got this wrong in the case of the train accident, because it was brand new track. So it's not about lack of money, it's about something that's gone wrong. But to think that in 21st century America, its biggest airport could be out through a power outage.
And it's extraordinary. I mean, I've been travelling in Asia recently, and, you know, the contrast between flying in to an American airport from an Asian airport is truly astonishing. And whatever your politics, I mean, there is a crumbling public transportation and particularly aviation infrastructure here that, for those of us who have been here, in my case, for nearly 25 years, you know, we've seen it crumble before our eyes, and at some point it's going to have to be addressed.
And infrastructure apart, Trump is on his feet as we speak, putting forward a new national security strategy.
Yes, he's got a doctrine, Nigel, the Trump doctrine, I think they hope this is going to be known as. He's laid out four pillars. This has all been going on in the last half an hour while Nigel's been on the air. Four pillars of his national security strategy. First of all, he says, homeland security. It's all about building that wall along America's border with Mexico and cracking down on chain migration and implementing the revised version of his travel ban. Secondly, economic prosperity. He's claimed that for the first time, economic prosperity is now enshrined within his national security strategy as a key part of national security policy. It's not actually true. It's been enshrined in national security strategy since 1987, but he's prioritizing it. The third pillar, peace through strength. In other words, building up America's military, maintaining its nuclear deterrence. And the fourth strategy, advancing America's influence internationally, which he said would be accomplished in part by building up American wealth and power at home. So he's still on his feet at the moment, as far as I know.
Just come off stage.
There you go. But that is Donald Trump's national security strategy.
A very Trump speech.
A very Trump, America first, but not necessarily America alone speech. He spent the first 10 minutes really trashing, I think it's fair to say, the record of his predecessors in power, accusing them of having surrendered American sovereignty. And he says that he's sending a message to the world that all of that ends now and America is going to stand up for itself, as he put it, in a way that it has never stood up for itself before.
Simon Marks, thank you for joining us and that briefing on everything happening, good and bad, in America today.